games, video 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 games.
It's November 17th, 2008, and you pirated World of Goo.
This is Idle Thumb 7, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
I'm Jake Rodkin.
And today we're once again joined by Steve Hot Scoops Gaynor from 2K Marin.
That is my full name.
Yeah. So,
it's on my
exclusive list. Reveal, Bioshock 2, Field of Dreams. It's all coming out in a big hot scoop.
On your chest.
The hot scoops are going to be DLC.
Oh, snap. So we're talking like $4.99 per scoop.
Well,
400 Microsoft points.
Right. I can't.
What a rip-off.
The pricing is not my job. I can't speak to
you.
That.
Don't price the scoops.
Yeah. I mean, the DLC is unofficial. The scoops have not really been released. You're not going to put this on the internet.
It's an internet cast.
Could you at least give us like the MSRP of the scoops, if not the point value that Microsoft will assign to them? Because I mean, that is up to them.
Intercast.
Huh?
Intercast.
Intercast is the MSRP.
Moving on.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Shut the fuck up. You can erase this part.
Maybe not.
Oh.
So I think we actually do have genuine hot scoops, though. I think Nick has some hot scoops.
I have hot scoops.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm holding them. I've been holding them for like a week.
It's gross. It's believe really, me.
Put
it's
down really, the scoops.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nick talked to Ensemble about. I don't even know what he's going to say, but apparently he talked to Ensemble.
Shit.
So
it's going to be a big surprise.
I don't know whether to build it up or not because I don't know what the information is.
Talking about Ensemble Studios.
Prepare yourself.
Yes, Ensemble
down.
Studios, the makers of Age of Empires. Age of Empires.
Shit.
The makers of
and,
Halo Wars and nothing Halo else.
Wars. Yeah, right.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the makers of Halo
Wars. Wow.
So you used your video game journalist credentials to get time speaking with them.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. It was really depressing.
Yeah.
Who did you it was the most downbeat interview I've ever done.
Oh,
it, who it was it with? Was it with Graham
Devine?
It was
Devine? With Graham Devine and, yeah. and Dave Pottinger,
who's okay,
the
yeah.
lead tech. And Graham didn't say much, but Dave definitely, you know. Yeah. Man, they really gave it to Microsoft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they are clearly not happy. They don't understand.
Yeah, they're not happy they got shut down.
Well, surprise. Not only that. I mean, they're confused. They don't think it makes any sense. I don't know. I learned some interesting details. Like, only three people have at the studio so far. They expected like 40 people to leave. So, I mean, there's a big group that's still there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, about
only
half
three
the
people have left.
Yeah, and only about half the studio is going to go on a. Form that Halo Wars tech or not tech support but support you know group that's gonna be creating content.
Do you know what's happening with Age of Empires?
Yeah, I asked that too. He wasn't at liberty to say it's gonna continue.
Yeah.
Microsoft is gonna do something with it, but you know they weren't able to really go into detail.
Did they give you any sense of why Ensemble as a studio was being shut down? If they're retaining a bunch of Halo Wars stuff and they're planning Age of Empires stuff, who would you want doing it other than Ensemble if you already have those guys?
They did. Basically, the way that they explained it to me was that, you know, everything was going fine, and then a new, you know, there was some reorganization, like, with Microsoft internally, and then everything just, you know, fucking hit the, you know, fan. I mean, apparently, it was just this new...
Some scoops hit the fan?
Yeah.
Some hot scoops dripped out?
Yeah, yeah. And I asked about...
Splattered on the walls of Ensemble Studios.
Hey Chris, wow. How's it going?
I'm just this is my mental image of
well,
what
yeah, I mean,
went
yeah,
on that
thanks
day.
For interjecting.
They were hot scoops.
It just wouldn't have been the same without that image.
Hot yeah. scoops demand immediate.
The content so, of a hot scoop was fairly ambiguous until now, at least in my mind.
Well, I think I introduced them by saying you had to put down a tarp first before dropping them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I missed that.
So fill me in on the backstory because I guess I haven't followed it closely enough, but how could they be shut down and also retain 40 head staff? Is that what you said?
They expected to lose 40 people. What's happening is, you know, half the studio is going to, you know, be let go. And well, you know, Microsoft says they're going to try and offer as many jobs to people as they can. But I guess about half the studio, you know, is going to continue with this sort of internal Microsoft development thing that's going to be supporting Halo Wars down the line with, you know, new content and stuff like that. So
a slice of Ensemble will become a slice of Microsoft Game
yeah,
Studios.
Pretty much.
And then the rest of Ensemble, including the name, will be deleted.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
That seems so... weird.
Like, yeah, I know. And I was talking to them about the
synergy.
I mean, they're just sort of being forcibly absorbed into the internal, like,
Microsoft is trying. They're trying to build up their internal development a lot, but that seems so baffling to me.
Yeah,
like Ensemble was like a consistently successful studio. I mean,
I try to you know pull off like pull a sense from what do you think Microsoft's doing here, you know, and just talking about you know the business end of it, and they were just baffled, you know.
So you think they genuinely also
it was a baffling situation?
It was totally baffling. Yeah. Baffled.
There was some baffling going on.
So I'm just gonna weigh in here, so all four of us have said baffle. All right, we're good.
All right,
is that it? I thought you had an opinion.
No, I just baffle.
That's fair enough. I like that word.
Yeah, I know it's actually a word that I associate with you because you say it frequently, and no one else does.
Chris
in the world.
Baffling Ramo.
Then. Yeah,
that's what they call me,
Chris Baffle Ramo.
Yeah, it's my name,
the Baffler.
Batman villain from 1968.
Man,
he was cut.
Goddamn Joker! I was robbed.
Riddler.
Yeah. The Riddler. That should have been me.
Baffle me this.
What? Exactly.
That's sad though. Honestly, that is really weird. I asked when I was talking with the Game for Windows guys. I asked them, and they couldn't really answer because they didn't. I mean, it's not their department, but I said, you know, it really feels like, and I do feel this way about a lot of the stuff Games for Windows is doing, where it's like I feel like you guys are sort of taking with one hand while giving with the other. It's like you're doing all these things that you're trying to sort of pay lip service to PC gaming, and some of the things are genuinely good. I mean, I think Nick, both you and I really like a lot of the direction they're going with Games for Windows.
Yeah.
But meanwhile.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this is going on.
Yeah.
You know what was weird is I was asking them about the canceled Halo MMO. And I don't know, I guess, I mean, you guys reported this before anybody else, but I thought the circumstance was that, I guess we didn't really know, you know, why that was canceled, whether, you know, Ensemble wasn't happy with it or whether, turns out, Microsoft had greenlit it at one point and then just pulled the plug on them after that reorganization.
They had
like 40 people on that project. And they were really happy with it.
Do you know when this reorganization happened?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really get any whole lot of specifics about like what exactly, like who, you know, would have been responsible for that. But I think probably 2007, mid 2007.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That sounds right.
What could have been the catalyst for that? Any idea?
I haven't looked into it yet. I mean,
they appear not to know.
Is there any chance of that stuff? What is it all related to Bungie going away?
I think Bungie went away after. Bungie was late last year, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but I'm sure.
But there were probably things in the works.
Yeah, they probably knew it was
going
to happen.
But the reality is, maybe Ensemble was happy with the MMO, but I mean, if you go to gamasutra.com and search for Halo MMO, we broke that story with a lot of screenshots. We have a lot of artwork from it, and it did not look good.
What they said about that was that a lot of those screenshots were not actually in game. Like a lot of that was he said a lot of people got really, you know, up in arms about, you know, what the direction of it looked like, but I guess he seemed to, you know, intimidate that it wasn't really what, you know, they were doing with that project.
MMOs generally like aren't objectively beautiful looking games.
I'm not talking about the beauty. It's just like it looked like, I mean, it really looked like it was just any MMO that they just invented. Like,
he admitted that it was totally based on World of Warcraft.
The Wizard guy. I mean, it really was like Wizard of Warcraft or Wizard of
The Wizard of Warcraft.
Yeah. I mean, it really was World of Warcraft with Halo stuff. Like, and not even very much Halo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty derivative. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You seen many MMOs lately?
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
It's sci-fi. You'd think they would want to stake out their own, you know, something
like some science,
some fiction, maybe. More science, I guess.
Yeah.
Science.
That's
why I said it.
The only legitimately sci-fi seeming MMO I've ever been exposed to was Anarchy Online, which, like, it
what about
had
Eve.
Well, I guess I mean that could be compared to World of Warcraft at all.
Like, right.
Eve, what about Anarchy Online?
Oh, yeah. See, that's totally.
What about Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa?
That would not fall in the same category necessarily. And I mean, Anarchy
no longer
Online,
Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa minus Richard Garriott.
Right. NCSoft minus Richard Garriott. He's going. Yeah. Like he went into
John
space.
John Romero's gone.
He came back and realized the futility.
Yeah. Oh, he went into space and
he's got like a blank slate now.
He.
All right, Jake is not amused.
I was also silent. You're not going to point that out?
You at least smiled a little.
I looked away.
No, sorry, I was actually thinking about the possibility that Richard Garriott was like is now the host of some weird alien. Like he went up into space and a parasite is in his brain, then he came back. I am no longer interested in tabula rasa. I will now only pursue space and furthering mankind going into space. So, and then we'll all
to meet our overlords.
Right, and now so Richard Garriott is actually secretly a weird pod person.
He's like a body snatcher.
That's an awesome idea. I mean,
So Richard Garriott is now going to like unveil a crazy thing that will take all of humanity into space, where we'll all just have a weird thing.
He can team up with Peter Molyneux and make a Nobel Prize winning video game.
Is this a reference to something?
Peter Molyneux declared something like his next game will be so amazing it'll win like a Nobel Prize for science.
Oh yeah, right, yeah.
I love that guy.
He got a
he's back on the horse. He's back on the wagon, yeah, guys. Like here he goes.
Fable 2 is number one on the charts for 1 month, and now he's thinking about Nobel Prizes. Okay.
I think he said that before it even came out.
He knew.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he could just tell.
Well, it's in pre-production. I mean, he's basically done.
Nobel Prize.
Maybe it's that game where a chair is made out of clay cubes.
Oh yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Oh, that game that's all about
the GDC
Emily Dickinson
game. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. That he like tacked Emily Dickinson onto to fill in the Emily Dickinson game challenge.
Whatever could you mean?
I'm just.
People don't need to know.
No one knows this.
We're
anyway,
about.
Whatever. Were there any other hot scoops, Nick?
No, just some random things about Halo Wars, you know. Nothing that's...
Some lukewarm room temperature scoops.
Lukewarm room, yeah, just the fact that, I guess... Well, Halo Wars wasn't originally going to be a Halo IP. Like, they, you know, they hadn't conceived
but
it as that.
War,
it was just
going to
be Wars.
Yeah, no. No, I mean...
It's a sequel to Gun. What? Yeah. They're ramping it up.
That wasn't the same company.
I know.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
I'm just talking about a one-word... die.
Oh, man. Wow, buddy.
Dropping science
Big
and
buddy.
Hot scoops.
Yeah.
Come on. Die man. Is science related?
Holy shit. Jake's on the warpath. That's gun related.
No, I'm just very confused.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
What? Anyway,
Halo Wars. Yeah. You know.
So wait, what? I don't know that much about Halo Wars. Is it even still in production? Like, is Halo Wars still. On slated or did
oh
I
yeah
cancel
yeah
or
it's
something?
Coming out
no it's okay. coming out for sure
yeah. That's
oh, really?
The last game
that's what those people are still there for to
oh
the
swan
Wars.
Song yeah
it's
their
swan
song that seems like a lame swan song like
they better
I mean,
check that thing carefully for like gay pride helicopters and other such
what?
Things
what
you remember you know the story about Simcopter
no
what? You don't know the thing
I
about
played
Simcopter?
That game but I don't
no,
know
no I love that game
about.
What about
oh, you played that game you didn't see the whole game
well let me ask this other question do you know that group called the Yes Men
no
mm-mm. They're like a performance art group that like basically sort of like Ali G they convince like corporate conventions and stuff that they're like sales experts and basically just bluff their way into doing huge presentations in front of like hundreds or thousands of like corporate people yeah. And they're just complete farces where they're basically mocking them
they're also the guys who printed like the 1.2 million fake New York Times that went out last week. If you
oh,
saw that,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
The Iraq War
that.
Is over. New York Times
oh,
issue that they printed out
2009 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so anyway, one of the guys who would later go on to start the Yes Men back in like whatever 93 or whenever Simcopter came out, he was a programmer at Maxis on Simcopter, and he, I guess, was not happy with his job or didn't care about losing it. And so he put an Easter egg into the game where. If you like flew to this one or just if you were playing the game at like a certain date and time and flew like down over the city, there were just like hundreds and hundreds of the little Simcopter stick figure people all out there like dancing around and waving like gay pride flags.
That's awesome.
Wow. And yeah, it was discovered at some point.
That's great.
So anyway. Getting back to Halo Wars, if I could see these sort of like
saying,
dead man
yeah.
walking
yes,
developer
right.
being
yeah.
like, well,
time for gay pride helicopters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No blood for aliens.
No blood for aliens.
Yeah, so they better comb that shit over at Microsoft's certain
yeah.
headquarters.
Yeah,
combing some shit.
Yeah.
Oh no, Master Chief is flying in on his gay pride
combing through the hot scoops.
Real quick, oh, no. I want to since we're talking about Microsoft stuff,
sure.
I want to tack on that I was talking to someone recently who used to work at Microsoft and worked on an early version of the Xbox,
mm-hmm.
and apparently it was originally called the Windows Entertainment Platform. Like
weird.
In
the web
Sony-esque
that's
like
great.
PlayStation 3 computer entertainment
right.
system-esque type of thing. So
wow.
too bad that didn't happen.
Yeah. It's probably good that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah,
it might not have been.
They went the other direction.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Extreme.
On the other hand, you might have actually had, you know, integration between PC and console games.
You have that now, Games for Windows Live.
I said from day one.
I don't know if you would have. Well, I mean, the Xbox is basically just a PC anyway. You can build one of those things for less. It's going to be cracked immediately. You heard it here first. Signed to the internet.
In like 2000.
Yep. Yeah. Eight years ago, some guy said that. Yeah. It was hopefully not me.
But I don't know. It would it, like, I could see an alternate history where, you know, the Xbox sort of embraced the Windows platform more and PC games would be doing better now, maybe. Sort of, you know.
From your dream.
If the Xbox is like an extension of the PC as opposed to a totally separate thing.
Right.
Maybe not.
It would have been an interesting direction for it to go. If they would have tried to essentially make it a standardized PC?
Yeah, yeah. More or less. It's like, here's our little, you know, soldered shut PC box.
Soldered?
Yeah.
Soldered.
Soldering.
Okay.
Solder.
Yeah.
What? So,
colonel. Are you a colonel in the army?
No. So S-O-L-D-E-R is pronounced solder?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Really?
All right.
Secrets.
I just learned the word I had only heard spoken met a word I had only seen written, and they were one and the same.
Oh, man. That's the best. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So anyway,
yeah. Yeah. It was basically just like, here's a little PC that will only play these games. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect that they did not name it that in part for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they wanted it to be its own platform. Kind yeah. of like how the Zune is not the Microsoft portable music player. Because right.
And look at what a smashing success it is.
Well, okay. You know.
Yeah.
So Allard's batting 500.
Allard's bat. That would have made a good teaser, little like intro
thing.
Jay
Allard.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I hate him.
Wow.
Right. I love him.
So, Steve, you
more
had
like Jay
you had hot
podcast.
Scoops to drop.
It wasn't a hot scoop. It was just a topic that I remembered that happened this week.
Yeah.
Your boss broke this thing, the Pixel Vixen 707, being a semi-false human.
Yeah.
That was sort of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because what is this now? Okay. So yeah.
It's a Pixel Vixen 707, implying that this Pixel Vixen is from Sonoma County. Area code 707.
That makes sense, I guess. I mean,
I don't know. That's the first thing I thought.
Silicon Valley kind of thing.
Extreme investigative journalism happening here. My area code.
So for Nick's benefit,
for Nick's benefit, 707 is, you know,
the benefit of
Santa Rosa,
Nick.
California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Right. So I guess it's semi weird because, you know, there's this whole little mini ring of sort of video game analysis and theory blogs.
Like a web ring?
Sort of, yes.
Oh, man, web rings.
That all link to each other.
It's web rings
and
balls.
Stuff. Like,
right, like a web ring links.
Yes.
Like a link list.
Holy shit.
Geo blog sites. Roll.
Anyway.
Right. So
web ring, yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So sites like whatever Brainy Gamer and Lee Alexander's blog and you know, Chris Dale and all those sorts of people who kind of write analytical stuff about video games. And there's this person who had been like commenting on all their blogs and sending them emails and stuff for a while, as if they're just a person who was also interested in the discussion. Maybe she had her own blog as well, but her handle was PixelVixen707. Mm. Everybody's just like, oh, that's a good commenter. Interesting thing. I'll reply to you and whatever. And last week, Simon Carlis at Gamasutra posted a thing where, I forget the exact lineage, but I'll just put in the abstract, like that somehow like he got an email from someone saying what was it? Do you remember the exact connection?
No, it was convoluted.
Yeah, but anyway, it basically connected Pixel Vixen 707 with the alternate reality game advertising firm that created I Love Bees and stuff like that. And so this person who just for like the last year had kind of been dwelling and commenting in this semi-obscure video game blog circle
might call it a blogosphere.
Right. turned out to be like, I guess just a game theory blogger that they paid to get interest in her. And then they were going to throw off a thing that, like, it's because people started to be suspicious because her latest blog posts were about, like, her brother working in an insane asylum or something.
It was one of those things where it started to, like, turn into an internet drama.
Right.
And it's like, wait a second.
And then it turned out, oh, actually, advertising. And some people felt duped and, like,
betrayed,
slighted, kind of. But I don't know. Seen I mean,
super duped.
So I guess
that's how I feel.
So yeah, I guess it's sort of the sign of all good ARGs that they start out in a weird, subtle, obscure place. But this blogosphere, it's an odd thing to happen in my mind. Yeah.
It was such a weird, specific community.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess it was some sort of semi-calculated thing where it's like, well, these are people that are
that would probably like
to lap it up.
Yeah. Or just like
Argtacular.
The readers of this weird little blog circle are people who are into stuff enough to want to investigate an ARG. Like, but
they investigated a little too much.
They got investigated
they
instantly.
Dug too deep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess on some level it points to kind of ARG backlash, where people kind of
ARG backlash,
pirate backlash. The terms.
But just see, like, it seems like people were not that happy that they didn't know it was an ARG from the outset. Whereas ARG seem really popular when it's just sort of blatantly like
a puzzle to solve.
Yeah. Here's an ARG. Have fun with it, as opposed to like, wait, enjoy a fake person, ARG. You tricked me.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Trying to create some sort of my alternate best friend. Reality?
Game? Video game? ARVG?
Oh. Arv's face is ripped in half.
Well, and an ARVG came out.
I'm a more ARVG? Man. What's the world coming to?
That actually reminds me of that post by Duncan and Merrick on Hit Self-Destruct about turning games journalism into an ARG.
I haven't read that yet.
Oh,
it's kind of like clearly
on this week's Idle Thumbs, we will relate to you things we have read.
Well,
sorry. It was a good post. I mean, it was sort of a cynical, facetious thing, but it was basically about how games journalists go like batshit insane deciphering like the like hidden text that you find when you do a level adjust on like the Halo recon thing.
Right, yeah.
But if there's an actual like piece of investigative journalism, no one will go near it. Like the example they gave was the NCSoft Europe thing where that division was like shut down and there was a huge power shift from the Garriott's to arena.net, and all the major story was like new MMO from NCSoft or whatever, and it was
nobody really looked into
the actual story.
So they're talking about
politics and a whole lot of people losing their jobs.
Yeah, it was an amazing power shift and huge layoffs, and it was like NCSoft refocus is a thing.
Yeah.
There's real news also.
Yeah, it was like something big happened that affected a lot of people in the industry that you're covering. I think I'll just repost the press release about the new product.
Hot scoops.
Doink!
Wow. Great.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Sweet.
Senor Super Douche, stop doing interviews. If I see you one more, you will alert for Call of Duty 4. Because of an interview you did, I'll flip my lid. Please, Senor S. Douche, stop doing interviews.
Seriously, man. You're killing me.
You're killing me.
Interview about your own game. Not ours.
Not ours.
Call of Duty World of War can stand on its own merits.
On its own. Out of it.
Like this gem of a quote from today's article on CVG.
On the internet, in the previous Call of Duties, it might take 3 or 4 shots from a bolt action rifle.
What the fuck are you talking about? In previous Call of Duties,
blah, 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 blah.
You didn't work on previous Call of Duties. So don't talk. As if you're
just
as if you're down
your
with
face.
how/why things were designed the way they were.
You don't know anything about
And secondly, you're completely fucking wrong.
Oh, snap. And to the press, please stop talking to this guy. Talk to someone on the team. Or your interviews will be full of lies. Senor Super Douche, you're pulling shit out of your ass. Stop.
Oh my god.
Oh,
good.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Sweet.
That was an outstanding ending.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Steve. That was a hot scoop you just dropped there.
Oh, man.
I appreciate
Steve,
it.
Proud of Chris.
Kotaku headline, Steve, proud of
Chris. Who knows? Question mark?
Oh.
No, it's a mystery. Yeah. Mm.
What do you guys what you guys been playing this week?
Far Cry 2 and Fallout 3.
Oh, no.
I actually haven't been playing Far Cry 2 because of Fallout 3.
You have declared that is your favorite game of all time, right?
I have to acknowledge that it is.
Wow.
I mean, like, I was just vetting it against my own brain for quite some time because the thought came in. And
your brain,
I was like,
which
I was like,
is
wait,
the better game,
Mario
my brain or Fallout
4? I was just like, well, I'm thinking it's my favorite game ever. Could that be right?
What about
and
that one
I couldn't
game?
Deny it.
Yeah.
It is that one game.
Oh,
oh man.
Oh,
you just
snap.
Know how that works know. Out.
Yeah. I mean, I've found no plausible way to deny that it is. So it is. I mean, it comes out of half being a really good open world RPG that is just well designed and half from nostalgia. Because I was a super fan of Fallout 1.
Of Oblivion, so when they added guns, you were like, wow, brings back so many memories of when there weren't guns.
Yeah. That joke's never been made on this podcast.
Actually, I don't think
this
it has.
Week.
Yeah.
Oh, I think
downloadable
it has.
Dog armor. No, of Fallout 1, you know? Because yeah. like back in high school, for whatever reason, it was that game I was super psyched on before it came out. Like I had dog-eared copies of video game magazines with Fallout articles in them and stuff. And it was awesome. And then...
Dog meat-eared.
Yes. Good work. And Fallout 3, because it's like a direct sequel that they tried to stay very true to the original games with, it just feels like, yeah, the realization of
so
like Fallout 3.
So you disagree with the internet that about...
That it's not really Fallout or something? I can't...
The internet
I can't
says
imagine,
that?
Yeah, I can't imagine how anyone would objectively play that game and be like, this isn't Fallout.
I've seen a lot of people who are like, this is a great game, but it's no Fallout.
Like,
I think that's just something to say. Like,
I think
like that's
is,
just
no,
like the easiest thing they could like
no,
come up. Like,
that's
like,
true. Yeah,
I gotta criticize this game somehow.
Yeah,
how
like,
can I do it?
It makes
certainly
you,
no Fallout.
Yeah, it makes you like sort of on
that
the surface seem like you are more
like
knowledgeable
you might
than people
be informed,
who would say.
Yeah. Like
yeah,
you're the one who noticed the little things that made it Fallout.
Right.
That Bethesda just didn't get. Just didn't get it.
Like
they just bless their hearts. They tried.
Yeah, I played both Fallouts on release day and loved them. And I will declare that Fallout 3 is Fallout. It actually is. It contains so many touchstones from the original game as far as just equipment and concepts and organization, blah, blah, you know, all of the IP kind of stuff, Death Claws, whatever. And also
super mutants.
Yes. And seems to, in my opinion, really kind of get what made Fallout interesting.
Agree,
so.
Yeah.
What would have killed it for me is if the quest shot stuff, you know, if the dialogue had been, you know, under par, that was my...
Well, I see that a lot. I'm seeing people like, man, they just couldn't get the dialogue up to
par.
See,
I disagree. I think that's,
I
think that's the reason why, you know, it feels like Fallout to me.
That was
they didn't drop the ball on that
I agree.
Part.
Like, and the amount that they improved it over Oblivion is like
astronomical.
Astonishing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is that they didn't go overboard with trying to make it, you know,
they didn't
overwrought,
do it. Yeah.
But it's also like... It has character. You know, they rode the line of it being, concise and direct, but also interesting.
You also don't want to go super over the top in a world. Like, Fallout 1 and 2 are a lot more representational of a world visually than Fallout 3. And I think a lot of...
It's like more abstract
impressionistic.
In terms of the sort of stylization of dialogue, when it's actually coming out of someone's mouth, you can't
Yeah,
it would turn into it would be retarded immediately.
Well, there was voice dialogue in
was
the
there?
Original
yeah.
Fallout.
Yeah, well, I don't fucking play games.
But it wasn't across
maybe
the board.
I played
like,
on a shitty
no, it was the key. It was the key characters.
Right. In yeah, Fallout 3, everybody's yeah. voiced, whereas in the yeah. original Fallout,
that's
there,
a big
there were certain guys yeah. in the original I mean, Fallout games who had awesome claymation faces.
Yes, yeah,
they
were, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
they did.
Wow.
Voice
yeah,
dialogue.
That's true. Yeah,
that sounds like a,
they,
including yeah, Richard they, Dean Anderson.
Yes,
yeah, and Keith oh, David was in that too.
Who's that?
Yeah, he was your super mutant friend. Right?
No, who I don't know who that is.
Keith David is the guy who was the main gargoyle in Gargoyles. That
oh man,
my favorite guy.
No, no, no. He does a lot of stuff. I can't really think of anything.
He's been a lot of movies. And done a whole lot of voice yeah. acting.
That's yeah. cool.
You would recognize his voice instantly. But.
He's a God. Yeah.
Oh,
what,
man.
What movies has
Do you
he
guys...
been an actual actor in? The only one I can pull off. The top
he always
of
plays
my head.
Like a general or some guy who's
well,
like Mr. President.
He played.
Turn your key.
He played the like kind of like pimp guy in Requiem for a Dream.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that exploited
yeah, right, yeah.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. The.
The yep. pimp guy.
Yeah. Ass
the favorite
ass.
Guy.
Right.
Yep. Does the guy who played Batman in the animated series, is he in Fallout 3?
I don't know who that is.
Because I've had a few people ask me this, and I don't know what to tell them.
Wait, is this a serious question? Are you
yes.
making fun of me identifying
no, no,
this
no.
guy by his role as the main
I've
Gargoyle.
Literally heard, like, this hypothesis, you know, floated a number of times.
Because the guy who played the Joker in the Batman series is in Star Wars. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did hear about that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who
I thought
the
you were
voice.
Actually going to say like, full and skip Star Wars entirely.
A lot of people have postulated that he's like one of the sort of security, like there's a security guard voice that's duplicated amongst
oh, yeah.
a lot
oh.
of security guards.
Oh yeah, that's Batman.
You are
I can't ever tell
shit.
If you're full of shit or not.
I have no idea.
Well, I can
that.
Tell if he was. I don't know, check IMDb.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have it on IMDb.
Oh really?
They don't list all the bit parts.
Huh.
It's probably
but
Batman.
They don't even list all the voices?
Maybe they do. I don't know. I haven't looked enough.
Just, I don't know. I was just watching the credits, whatever, 2 days ago, and they seem to
Batman.
List a whole lot of voice
okay.
actors.
Well, maybe
even for, like,
someone can write in. Maybe we're just way behind the ball. We don't know anything.
But geez. My advice
nice
is just roll with it. It's Batman.
Clearly, it's Batman.
I like
but
that
there is,
metaphor.
Like, there is a security guard dude. He's just, like, a minor dude who is... They use his voice all over the
yeah,
place
yeah.
for security guards, and he's, like, the most classic, like... I can't help you right now.
Oh, that
I'm
guy?
On
oh,
duty here.
Oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, in the game.
Please take this up with my superior.
Yeah. I recognize. I know which
wizard.
Guy you're talking about. Whoa.
That guy is a wizard's apprentice?
Yeah.
Sweet.
The wizard.
Who'd have thought?
Can he make me a whole lot of
when
runes?
When they added the guns to Oblivion, they forgot to remove the wizards.
And that's where
big oversight.
Blizzard got
yeah.
the idea.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world.
Blizzard is like, oh man, look at this guy they've got in Fallout 3. That'd be a sweet character to include in our video game.
New Diablo 3 class, the security guard. What? Get ready for that.
The super mutant.
But anyway, yeah, I'm super happy with how Fallout 3 turned out.
Yeah,
just,
no, it's,
just
it's fantastic.
It's,
yeah.
it's the kind of game that I wanted to be really good. And I don't know, as...
Your dreams were fulfilled.
Yes, my dreams were fulfilled and endorphins flowed through my body.
resulting in scoops.
You play so many games where it's just like, well, yeah, you play it and it's okay. And then something about it is kind of fucked up
yeah.
or pisses you off. You're like, well, this is a pretty good game, except this sucks or whatever. Yeah. And really, in Fallout 3, except for it's kind of unstable on PC. Like, it crashes sometimes.
And the animations are kind of janky.
I really have not had a problem with the animation.
I don't like that. I can't stand the animation.
Like, I mean, they're fairly low fidelity,
so
but there's so many characters. Like,
I no,
don't
I don't
know.
Hold it against them as a developer. I just,
yeah.
it's just, I, you know, it's
I
one
think
of
it's,
the things
I think it's
about.
Something I don't connect with very strongly.
Yeah,
like,
fair
I think,
yeah,
I think fidelity of animations doesn't really ever cross my mind unless it's like super ridiculous. You
right.
know,
yeah.
like, wait, that
yeah.
guy is just. Just like doing a walk pose and sliding across the ground, you know.
Well, it does happen when you start walking in Fallout 3.
Oh, I always have it zoomed in to like to like
I know.
Gears of War,
and
I
played it in first person, so it doesn't even matter to me. But yeah. I mean, I've seen, but I mean, I only,
one guy probably saw that. And
no,
he was pissed.
I'm just
yeah.
bringing it up because he specifically
yeah. I mean,
mentioned.
To be
thing.
Fair, I do play it in third person because I really like seeing the
really?
Character and being in the world. But I always
well,
zoom
right,
it in
the third person
to
guy,
to
yeah.
basically like waist up. And I do basically zoom it in so I see my character from the waist up because
yeah.
the IK on the feet
is
and,
yeah.
and feet
right.
movement is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's true. But I mean, like,
no,
stuff
but,
like that aside, as far as like design decisions, like,
yeah.
oh man, that game would have been perfect if it wasn't for this stupid design. Like,
yeah.
it's just a really super solidly designed RPG. I'm
yeah.
super impressed by it.
I don't find anything about it deficient. Yeah. It's and it's also like, again, just to compare it to Oblivion, because I don't a lot of the obviously the Oblivion comparisons are never ending, but I really just have to say, like, I really could not get into the world of Oblivion at all. It was my least favorite thing about that game by a long shot.
Yeah. It's just
and
very
in Fallout
generic.
3, I find myself like delaying my progress in the main quest just so I can walk around the world, find new shit, like uncover.
I mean, that's
places.
The other part of why I'm so psyched on it is just because the setting is so much more interesting to me than the vast majority of other RPGs.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
Maybe I'm just I think my tastes are sort of go towards grounded stuff, where I really like a game that's as open structured and deep as an RPG, but that has guns and actual places in it, you know? Yeah, like, you know, I do find it hard to kind of connect with high fantasy or high sci-fi, very low sci-fi is enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
Takes place in our world in a different time, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
A different time.
In a world. Wizard.
Yeah.
In a world where bombs exploded and then you drank a soda. Fallout 3.
Guns.
Yep. No, it's a good game though. I'm excited about it.
No, I was just like you, where I delayed my progress in the main quest, like to the point where I hit the level cap when I was like halfway through the main quest, and I was like, oh, I guess I might as well finish that story, you know, and then I went back to a save immediately before I finished it, and I'm just mining for more content. Like, there's just so many interesting things in the world that I it's the only RPG that I can remember playing that I actually want to see everything in it. Oblivion, like, no offense to anyone who worked on that game, but I played
probably
enough
mainly
of it.
People who also worked on Fallout 3, so it's okay.
Right.
They're awesome. So.
Yeah, but
now, but you know, before you were on the fence.
But I have to say, Oblivion was one of the games that I really respected. I just didn't personally get into it.
But by some point in playing Oblivion, I did play it for a long time. I put like 50 hours into that game,
wow.
Probably.
Yeah, I didn't.
Like, I felt like I had kind of gotten the point, you know? Yeah. And I hadn't done hardly any of like the guild quests or anything. I just did kind of most of the Dark Brotherhood and some other stuff. And then I was kind of like, I think I get it. But you know, with Fallout 3, it's like each granular little piece of content is interesting of its own accord. So it's a great world to explore.
Yep.
Totally, man.
Exploration.
Exploring.
Thought scoops.
Do you guys like exploring?
I would explore a video
I'm
game
a fan,
world.
No,
more of an
I'm
adventure fan.
Oh, really?
You like to adventure?
I like to venture out.
Yeah. I like things. I like things that are visceral. Do you guys like that?
Yeah.
Immersive.
I like immersive too. I like when games take it to the next level. That's kind of my favorite.
Well, I don't know.
I like when they blow me away.
Right. See, that's what I was going to say. I like being blown away.
It will blow.
See,
you
I like
away.
Taking it to the next level more than getting blown away. I just I like that verticality.
Only see, I like being blown away because it means that there's guns.
Oh, well said.
And I do like guns.
That's true.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks. Signed, journalist.
The internet.
It's a web.
P.S. Hot Scoops.
Unfortunately, that is the only thing I've been playing for like the last, whatever, two or three weeks since it came out.
Yeah. Probably my time has been about 2/3 Fallout 3, 1/3 Far Cry.
Yeah.
Two.
Like this podcast.
Much like this podcast. Zingles.
Yeah.
Zing, zong, zang.
Have either of you guys been playing something that's not
new stuff?
Fallout 3? Anything. I don't know.
I've been playing just a lot of random stuff.
I played some Left 4 Dead demo.
Oh, I played Left 4 Dead demo as well.
Well, I mean, we've talked about
that.
Oh, shit. I wasn't here. Left 4 Dead. Kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
What about you, Nick? You were going to say something interesting, I could tell.
Oh, not really. Played some games.
I could talk about
World of Goo.
Yeah,
World of Goo is really good. I think you should. Like, we talked about it before.
Oh, so you heard it.
Well, you've actually.
Yeah, well. Oh, yeah. I got the idea from the art. You know, it's like, oh, from
actually,
you can pirate this game.
I have a good idea.
It's actually. The piracy story is actually the thing that finally made me pick up World
it's
of Goo.
So sad.
What?
Oh, man.
I've been.
Well, I guess it's
forever,
a good. Like,
and then it just. It like yeah. I must. Whatever.
It's a good byproduct.
I'm a fucking video game consumer. I'd been meaning to play World of Goo forever.
I did the same thing. Yeah.
And then it's World of Goo pirated. Everyone wants to play World of Goo. It's like, oh.
Oh yeah,
I remember World of Goo.
I didn't technically buy it though. I got it free on Steam, but
that's
I
like
bought
piracy.
It on Steam.
Yeah, it is like piracy.
Did someone
I just got a press pass this week, so I've been basically playing like every game off the Steam list.
Oh, oh Jesus!
I
paid for it over their website, which uses the PayPal.
You can use PayPal on
serious?
Steam.
That's nice. But something has happened to my PayPal account where all payments take 5 to 7 days to process. So I was like, sweet, I'm going to play World of Goo this week. I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. Oh, Oh, maybe I'll wait till my payment clears.
You can only buy World of Goo from their website with PayPal?
Yeah, well, if you have a credit card, you can enter that into PayPal.
Oh, I see.
But apparently, my credit card was entered into some PayPal account that I haven't touched in like 3 years, so I can't just directly enter that, nor can I use my regular PayPal account.
Sweet.
The ordeals of PayPal here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, what I was going to say about Left 4 Dead. I've been playing that game.
speaking of
three
games
before, yeah. Sorry, it was one game before, but
okay.
We've been playing that at work a decent amount, the demo, and I don't know if like, we've been finding it pretty fun, and also on the hardest difficulty, fairly difficult. Like, fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, there were four of us who'd you know, put in a couple hours total, and we're finally like, okay, we've played through this on advanced or whatever enough.
Yeah.
Let's ratchet it up to expert and see what happens. Obviously, we were raped in half a million times.
Yeah.
And,
I've been doing that all weekend, just getting raped in half. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been able to find the game.
The pants.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find the game challenging at all, unless it's on expert. Like
that's advanced. Well, that's because you're probably good at games.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I'm playing with.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were able to complete the demo consistently every time. We were just playing it through because
it's really
it was
weird
fun to play through. Because
when I played it at Valve, like expert was not. We never had that much of a problem on expert, and maybe it's partially because we had such good communication playing in a LAN setting.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, with people over the internet, expert's fucking impossible sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, it depends who you're playing with, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Actually, I think you know how you know.
Yeah. One of the people on our design team was like a champion CPL player.
Oh wow.
And stuff. So I guess she helped.
That's hilarious.
Somewhat. Yeah. The thing that made me sad and also made me have a sort of realization about how I play video games is we were playing this and like four of us in the office had just been destroyed for like 2 hours trying to get through this thing. Like we didn't actually because I don't think any of us are really that like big first person shooter gamers other than sort of casual play. But you know we were all sort of gathered around one guy's desk afterwards going, oh, that was really fucking hard. That was really fun. And then a programmer saunters out of his office and is like, you guys playing Left 4 Dead? That's a great game, but the one thing about it is it's so stupidly easy. Like it's, I can't understand. It was like, what easy? We were just four of us couldn't get through like a like one and a half like level encounter.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, what do you mean? You just if the horde comes at you on expert, you just get into a corner, pull out a gun, and just melee attack. And the way it's timed, there's like a glitch in the timing, so they won't be able to attack you. You can just knock them off every single time. And it's like,
that's true. That does mean that the game is stupidly easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Not that you found an awesome exploit.
Yeah, it's like, I know, though.
Let's intentionally design this exploit into the game so that it's stupid.
Well, yeah, he's like, I hope they patch it out because the game's just too easy right now. And
if I do this one thing every time.
I think there's a lot of people for whom that's like how they play a first-person shooter game. That's like what a lot of people consider.
Yeah,
I've mastered this first-person shooter game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that...
I think that comes
I know that I've heard a lot of feedback from people who played the original Bioshock in really, like, sort of counterintuitive ways, to me anyway, like just running up to a Big Daddy with a wrench and taking five
hits. Yeah, the wrench thing.
And then dying and coming back out and just basically doing a Vita chamber loop.
Using the
of,
chambers, yeah.
Yeah, of like,
that's retarded.
Oh, I got 10 hit points off of him, died. 10 more hit points,
that's
died.
So
and a lot of gamers are stupid. Like, and, they don't
well,
no, do things
thing
like
is,
that just, like,
that's,
over and
that's
over.
A completely valid strategy, considering
it's
the,
valid,
the
but it can't be
game.
Fun.
Like, yeah, like,
exactly.
How is that fun?
Well, yeah, and it's not fun, but, yeah, I think that some people, it's easy or straightforward, or it's what is clearly working on some level, and since the game allows it to happen, it's on design's plate to not let the player make the game unfun in a valid way.
Right,
you
but
know?
people will go out of their way to do it if they can.
Yeah.
But
and the thing is that I think in Left 4 Dead, it's different just because that sounds like a 100% tuning bug exploit thing that wasn't intended.
Right.
Whereas in Bioshock design, that's just something you can do. You know.
Like, have you guys heard that particular complaint
no,
issued on the internet before?
Is super easy.
Well, I've heard it's easy, but I've not heard what you described.
Because I mean,
no, yeah, because I mean, you can obviously keep meleeing, but when I do that, I always die.
Like,
I mean, like, they're
I'm always so surprised whenever I go to like to PAX and go to the BYOC floor, or the time that I went to QuakeCon to watch how like the majority of hardcore first person people play first person shooters is so different than how I play them. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Like what is just, the way that other people are playing?
Well, people just do crazy shit.
Yeah.
But like what? Give me an example.
I can't
what
even
is something that you
I mean the most extreme example, and
you
it's
know, just
because
shit.
It's a,
that's crazy.
Yeah. The actual thing that was the problem was I would open the door to a BYOC area and I was drowned in hot scoops. It was gross.
It sounds pretty gross.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Sweet.
You were in a thing and somebody did something crazy in FPS. Do you have any recollection of it?
I think, well, I know what you mean. But
I mean, like, when I play Left 4 Dead, yeah. I play by what sort of, like, it's a little bit of me sort of internally doing, okay, I'm in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
These are the rules that I should be playing by. This is probably what the designers intended it to be. Hmm. And then I turn around and this other guy's like, this is easy. Good, good, good. He's just pistol whipping a guy over and over again. It's like, I would never, like, the way that I would play that game, just because I sort of, there's an internal, like, suspension of disbelief when I play. But then I go and I, like, partly, I guess, in BYOC areas, it's way more, there's competitive multiplayer stuff. But
well, that's also, like, the most filtered, like...
I know! You know. But it's surprising to me that and those are presumably the sort of loudest, most extreme voices in this community are the people who will turn off every single texture, find every single exploit that they possibly can, and do anything they can just to make it so they can get through the game quicker.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean about... I kind of unintentionally, like, I think just unconsciously try to play games right... You know, like sort of like try to fit my experience into the intent, the one that seems to be intended by the premise.
It's
or
not
whatever.
Like it's not an active goal of mine, but it's
just happens.
I feel like I experience suspension of disbelief when playing a single player game, like
or and it's not or multiplayer.
See, I have I found exploits before and used them to get through a game, if only because that game I knew I would never complete it otherwise. You know, like if it was that hard,
right? But like if I'm enjoying
it to begin with, then
I don't go out of my way to subvert
that.
It to like make myself
well. Like
do better.
BioShock definitely was an extreme example of that, and then also like Valve's recent games where it's like, the hell bullshit game is this? I got through that whole game in like 2 hours, and it's like, what like, were you literally trying to speed run it your first time through? Like, is that actually how, like,
the answer is yes.
I mean, yeah, but it's just weird because that's so different.
Yeah,
like
no,
I
don't
would never
people
occur
who
to
show
like...
me a challenge, Valve.
Yeah. I don't understand people who on their first playthrough are basically just trying to make
like
Portal
subjugate
be an
the
hour
game
and a half,
just like,
you know,
yeah, like, dominate it, like, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I can kind of understand where it's coming from in a way, just because it's sort of how I accidentally play adventure games at this point. I mean, I'm sure anyone who's played
just seeing through them, basically.
Yeah, where it's like, I can't see through Left 4 Dead. But if you play a lot of graphic adventure games, which are kind of like linear FPSs, just very like there's a really set language and a really set amount of cues, or if you play a lot of multiplayer FPSs, I'm sure you can just look at it and go. And it's like the Matrix where you just know like, oh, well, obviously this is a stupid, you know, three subquest fetch thing where I have to do this type of manipulation.
How about, actually, you know what? That ties into a question a guy had.
Oh.
So why don't we go right into reader mail?
Hey, reader mail.
So Pete Fairhurst.
Throw some reader mail in there.
Yeah, look at that. This is such a clean segue. This is great.
Incredible. We're even talking about it. It's
Man,
so clean.
Yeah.
Calling it out.
Look at that. No hot scoops here.
Reader mail.
Pete Fairhurst.
Thanks for that segue, guys. Good work.
Peter Fairhurst writes, there's a lot of bitching and moaning about two particular game design choices in Fallout 3. Whoa. One, the constant postman quests being the only thing that drives the narrative. And two, the crafting system seems almost completely redundant. He writes, from my own perspective, I've been playing the game for about 7-8 hours, and I can't understand why people have a problem with the quest system largely about going from point A to point B, then maybe back again or off to somewhere entirely new. Similarly, while I haven't crafted anything yet, I enjoy stumbling across, for example, a raider encampment having an exciting battle, then rummaging through all the junk they've collected. Given both of these things, the postman quest and the crafting system, isn't the whole point of a role-playing game to go roaming around a huge, interesting world, discovering things, finding treasures, and killing monsters? What I would like to know is, do you guys agree or disagree with Fallout 3's game design choices, specifically with the way it drives the story forwards, and explain why?
Thanks very much.
Love to you all. Kiss, kiss, plus some inappropriate touching.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Wait, which one of us got touched?
All of us, I think.
It was like a hand
like
came
orgy.
Out of each of our microphones and touched us.
Maybe sprinkled some hot scoops. On.
Why?
Some sort of palpation.
Oh, scoops. Yeah. So
I know one guy who agrees.
Well, no, that was semi-facetious. But my real question is just kind of like, I don't exactly know what the alternative is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it like, when it comes right down to it, I cannot really think of even the best RPG quest that has been anything more than a very simple goal, like go here, pick up this thing and bring it back, or kill this guy.
Yeah.
What about that one where you kill a guy and then bring something that he has back?
That often happens.
The one where you sort of like go along with the guy and protect him.
Oh, an escort quest.
No,
the
I'm
worst
just talking
quest
about the
of all.
Yeah.
So
follow me over here.
So yeah, my point being, I can't really think of an example of like all the examples of good quests that I can think of are those with really, really good supporting material.
Right. I'm sure the quest structure is basically pretty much fundamentally the same, but when people tell me to go from point A to point B, I like point A, I like point B, and I like the stuff in between those
Show
points.
Me something new, Fallout 3. I'm waiting to be impressed. Idle Thumbs Forms.
Dude, it had guns. They added that.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. I mean,
man,
like,
people should just shut up.
My favorite quest I can think of, if you tear them all the way down to
Spoiler.
Basically what are you doing to progress the world state, it's like, I've entered a trigger volume, or touched an object, or made a guy not be alive anymore. Like,
or touched your heart.
Your quest is to touch your own heart with vats. So I don't know.
Oh man, I saw.
Do you guys
dude.
Have alternatives? Can you think of anything where
well,
it's like
there are
other
quests that are
don't
like
involve walking?
Like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Like, is that what we're talking about? Just like.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
there are quests that a lot of times you have quests that exist entirely within a fairly small space.
Yeah, I mean,
that
the one
you to go from person to person to person, and it's not enough traveling that I would consider it a point A to point B quest.
Right.
It's more like the order in which
the virtual reality quest is the one I keep thinking of.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Actual spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to keep it vague, but yeah.
Right. So there is a quest in Fallout 3 that's essentially like a weird little
dance.
Well, it, like an adventure game. Room kind
yeah,
of or
really
like
I like
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm hearing
it's yeah it's basically like a chunk of an adventure game kind of like
where like, you like you sort of slide the piece of paper under the door and then you poke the pencil through the lock to knock the key out and then you pull the piece of paper back and it has the key in it and then you can unlock the door.
I mean
that's what
you
I'm
actually,
talking about.
You actually have to create a mustache that you wear
out of syrup.
Oh,
and
some
hair.
Syrup and scotch tape on a,
right.
on a hole.
You make a mold of it, a plaster
cat,
mold.
Yeah, when the cat runs through, you can get the hair.
Which
then
unlocks
you
the door.
No, you feed the birds and they fly away.
No, we're talking about real adventure games, not this bullshit hypothetical adventure game.
Gabriel Knight 3, please.
Oh. And every adventure game?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, in your classic adventure game where sort of the point in Monkey Island where they tell you to get three things, kind of, you know? It's the space between being told to get three things and actually getting them, and there's some puzzles in between, you know, like, whatever. And it's interesting because it is a little self-contained sort of, I guess, kind of dialogue option puzzle for the most part.
So that's something new, an adventure game three subquest puzzle.
Yeah, but that said, it is
but it's not
super,
a point A to point
super
B thing, really, yeah.
It's like, we can only do that because we literally cut it off from the rest of the game.
Right.
This
it's very,
exist
as
anything but its own weird pocket universe.
Yeah.
And then you go back.
There's actually something that, there's also a puzzle in there that's basically missed.
Yeah.
Like
there's
an extreme missed callback
like,
in that.
You listen to animal sounds or something?
Very close to
very
that.
Close.
Yeah.
In fact, the answer could be yes.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out to me that little tune that a bird out in the park is actually chirping it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like the sound that comes out of
ruining this puzzle for somebody.
Well, whatever.
It's a super mist sounding. Like the bird has heard
this
song.
And there's something else. It's like there's a tone that comes over like the radio or something between songs or something like that. And it's like the tune you have to match is just sort of woven into the environment. I didn't even realize it.
That's
somebody
else
told me.
That's pretty cool. I don't know. It's like a video game.
So yeah, and that said, that is on the main quest line. It's it's one of the main
it's
gating
one of
mechanisms.
The mainiest main things.
And now you can get past that part.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what's
all the best.
I think that bitching about that is less like that you have to go places and kill dudes is less interesting to me than noting that it does give you way more freedom to explore the world and advance. Yeah. Events than most RPGs do. Like, speaking of that quest, you can just go find dad by accident.
Right.
It's like, your first quest is go find dad. Cool. And there's like eight, you know, or six or whatever main quests in between you and that.
But you could go straight there.
Or you can just walk find him. And it's like, that is like, that's super interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like,
we aren't going to put bullshit
in between you. Like, you have to go along this one thread to get there. And we're going to, like, put a, you know, a magical key.
Like a gate.
Yeah.
Like a trigger. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like, they had the mechanism in the game where the door that dad is behind could have totally been like, you need a key for
this
door.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't. They were
one man has that, and you have to go through 400 meters.
But I mean, but as we were discussing the week when this game came out, like, you can blow up Megaton before anyone gives you your first clue about where your dad is.
Yep.
Like, you can just, those quest NPCs can be gone. And at that point, I presumably would be up to you just to find him.
Pretty
which
much.
Is fascinating. Yeah. Like, that's, I think, really cool. Also, as far as the A to B stuff goes, there are maybe not so much on the main quest, but there are a lot of quests in Fallout 3 that it's up to you which point you go to. And, yeah. and like, I've found quests sort of like what you described with the main one. Like, I found quests where I accidentally ran into an NPC that allowed me to complete a quest a totally different way
yep.
than the quest giver was. And it was literally just in the middle of the desert.
Yep.
I found this person who was like, by yeah. the way, it seems like you're looking for this thing. And I ended up completing the quest not in the way I intended to
and
at
the
all.
Other thing is like it, just within that point A to B thing, I mean, you're also finding a lot. I mean, there are a lot of points where you clearly have an option of either going on to B or stopping and doing like A1, you know what I mean? Like
there are even times you can just lie to people and say you went to point B.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
they
yeah,
don't
yeah,
even
right.
know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And the thing, I think that it's actually really enjoyable, especially early on before you've scouted a lot of the world, that getting to point B is usually, in some cases, really meaningful. Like, if point B is in the heart of downtown DC,
yeah, yeah.
like,
yeah.
good fucking luck. Like, yeah, by the right. time you get there, yeah. you're going to have been through a fucking ordeal. You're yeah. going to feel like you actually accomplished something yeah. by getting yeah. to B.
It feels more abstract in a way. Like, I mean, they're just, like, you know, you're yeah. over here, and
well, I mean,
there's all this shit.
Yeah,
and, you know?
It's like, okay, I'm going to try and make a beeline there. Oh, there's a giant
I mean, half
of,
the
of, nice, good, me,
oh.
Of rubble, and now I have to, like, actually chart a course. Oh, no, faces. People on the internet can't see your fucking face.
Yeah. If they could, they would not listen anymore.
Wow.
Why just with that one
that's
face? With like the pointing
oh,
hands?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess at a certain point when you've kind of, you can fast travel to any relevant place on the map, it mm-hmm. feels more rote, but early on, it's actually an accomplishment
yeah.
To
yeah.
go from point
yeah.
A to B, which I thought was really satisfying.
And a lot of times yeah, you don't even remember, like, you know, what you're doing, you know, like,
yeah,
you're like going to B, you're just sort yeah. of like, wow, look at that, there's the fucking Washington
right.
Monument.
And then you get there, and you're like, oh,
else.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Find
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
up,
you're
guy?
Yeah. You're running around, and it's just like, oh, radio signal from somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, that's
oh,
what happened to me with what I was describing about running into the person in the desert. Like,
yeah.
I had just started to kind of wander off my own and find other shit. I found, like, 8 other places that
yeah,
have nothing
exactly.
to do with anything,
right.
and then I just so happened to come across this person in a totally separate part of the map
yep.
than where the quest was directing me to go.
Yeah, and I totally just started quest backwards, like
yeah.
I find a dude locked in a jail cell and let him out, and it's like, quest begun, rescue that dude. Sweet.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Might there be a dude who would offer a reward for your release?
Yeah,
he's already out of here, he's long gone.
Yeah, anyway,
yeah. Yeah. So
we should
they're kind of better
dudes.
Questions than why do I have to shoot so many brains to advance this quest? Right, whatever.
I'm baking a pie. I need 8 warthog hearts. It'd be pretty sweet if you could hook me up,
yeah.
buddy. Yeah.
Don't call me buddy, buddy.
I won't.
Okay, thank you.
Quest.
No problem.
So let's move on to the Far
right,
Cry question.
Now, there's a moratorium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Games discussed this week. We got Left 4 Dead in there. We got
Fallout 3.
Ill Bleed.
We didn't talk about Far Cry 2, so that's good.
You'll shit with
did
fear.
We? I don't think we did.
Yeah, we didn't.
You'll puke with pleasure. You'll vomit with excitement.
just throwing this out, and nobody's going to know what the hell that is.
Yeah, no one knows. Whatever. All right.
No, please.
But we're supposed to talk about it. We didn't talk about it yet.
There are only 2 options.
There is only 1 option. Go to youtube.com yes. and type in Ill Bleed trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and be pleased with your life.
Specifically, send us questions.
Second trailer.
Yeah, Ill Bleed second trailer.
You'll shit with fear.
Ill Bleed is one word. Also,
yeah. This is real.
It's yeah, it's an amazing thing that's better than the game itself. But it's yeah. an amazing artifact of the final days of Sega and their Dreamcast and everything, where they went completely insane
and made a video game.
Yeah, and seemingly released an official trailer that was just and you know an American voice actor reading the like. Bad English
terrible,
Japanese copy
yeah.
from some guy at Sega Japan,
including Who Wants to Be a Millionaire references and Sixth Sense references.
That is your final yeah. answer.
That seems like
the
that
wizard.
Was added, but like, what is your excuse for maximum strain, maximum bleeding? What?
You'll vomit with pleasure.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
never a thing I will ever happen
well,
in my life.
You'll vomit
I will
with
never.
Excitement.
I thought it was vomit with pleasure.
You'll puke with pleasure.
Oh, puke with pleasure.
You'll
oh.
shit with fear. Like that's alliteration. It's an official Sega trailer yeah. that was released with the word shit in it. You'll shit with fear.
You'll shit hot scoops.
All right.
Sorry, anyway, YouTube.com.
Yeah, YouTube.
Make the YouTube happen. Turn it into a ringtone for your
iPod. This wasn't really reader mail related, but we'll throw
no.
in a question.
Movie,
we'll
yeah.
make up a question and edit it.
Greg Labs writes, what do you guys think about the Ill Bleed trailer?
Ill Bleed, yeah.
What he actually writes is... Whoa, break things in Chris's apartment. Six mission accomplished.
Six mission.
I'll make sure that this doesn't fall apart before the podcast ends. I'm sorry that right. I broke your chair.
Oh, you actually broke it?
It the leg a little bit.
Oh shit!
I'm sorry.
Oh well, whatever. Greg.
I was pushing it backwards and it like twisted a little bit.
Oh, don't push it backwards. You're making a mess. Okay. In show two, Chris talked briefly about how he thought cross-platform multiplayer support in Shadowrun was absurd. I'm actually curious to hear your thoughts about why that is. How far does this go? Do you not like it because of the disparity of controllers? Would you support the feature if you could opt in to play with people on their own console, or should it never be there? Does the genre matter? A first-person shooter might be dependent, but what if it were a sports game or a racing game, or a lot of PC users use a gamepad anyway? Would you extend your dislike of cross-platform multiplayer to cross-platform indirect competitions, such as leaderboards for things like time trials? Greg Labs, overload UT.
Did he write it that fast?
I don't know, Steve. Like, if you wrote it that fast, please email us back. I can't discern the speed of his typing from.
So the core question was, hey Chris, why don't you like cross-platform?
Yeah,
Shadowrun.
I don't remember what I said exactly, but I definitely didn't like it in the case of Shadowrun, because as a first-person shooter, to try to make it a relatively even playing field, they had to do ridiculous things, like the swim on the aiming with the. I played that game on PC, and the swim on the mouse aiming is out of control. If you have a sniper rifle, it's just janking all over the place, and it's not.
And that can't be perfectly balanced ever.
Exactly,
they'll never get to a point where that's.
I still felt like I was headshotting the shit out of people,
because
you can still compensate for that a bit. It felt like it made it annoying for me, and yet I was still at an advantage. So, I mean, that was like the worst of all worlds. It was unbalanced and irritating. And, then Sega came out with Universe at War, which is a real-time strategy game that has cross-platform via Games for Windows Live. That seems like an even worse genre to do that with. Like, I don't know. I mean,
Watch pro StarCraft players and then, like, try and do that on
and then hand them an Xbox controller.
Yeah.
Like, I suspect that sports games, as he notes, that would probably be the most resistant to, I mean...
Or racing. Yeah. Racing or is a decent
racing,
example.
Yeah. Racing, fine. Like, I don't
think... They're both playing with crazy wheel attachments.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the case of those genres, I wouldn't really mind. But in the case of anything that's sort of Twitch-oriented or, like, reaction-dependent...
I mean, basically anything that originated...
Jake is busting up
computer.
Over here. Over his reference to wheels.
Sorry. It was actually that Nick was silently laughing himself, like, out of his chair, at the concept of people buying steering wheel peripherals.
It kind of seems like anything that was sort of native to the PC before it went console is kind of impossible to have a fair competition.
Like a MUD, you probably wouldn't want.
You could use the little attachment on the Xbox 360 keyboard.
You'd be at a disadvantage.
I would not want to play multiplayer
competitive
Space War
mudding
against an Xbox PC.
What about Mule? Would you want cross-platform Mule?
Dropping hot scoops.
Yes, please.
I never actually played Mule. Has anyone here actually played Mule?
Not, no.
Note that you were the one saying what.
Kicking us all off the podcast. We don't deserve to be on a podcast.
So no one here has played Mule?
No one's played Mule.
Okay, I just know of it as being, you know.
There's a Mule.
Very, very well-renowned, but it was kind of before my time, and I've never caught up with it.
Please let us know about Mule. Questions
how,
that
how douchebaggy we are for not having played it. How can we call ourselves gamers? That's what I want to know. Moving on, Tim Hampton writes, "Hey guys, another Australian listener here, this time from Adelaide, same city of Australia that is home to Chrome Studios, makers of such hit games as Forced Unleashed, in parentheses, on PSP, Viva Piñata, in parentheses, Party Animals, and Hellboy. Question is more of a discussion piece. With the upcoming NXE, it would be safe to say Microsoft is primarily trying to target..."
What's that stand for?
NXE.
It's the NXE Xbox experience.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
It would be safe to say Microsoft is primarily trying to target the Wii demographic, bringing gamers across to the 360 with the use of avatars on what other system? And family-friendly ad campaigns. Now, the curious thing to me is that right now, Xbox Live mostly consists of loud, racist, obnoxious Americans. So what is going to happen?
I'm in the family sphere. I don't get any of that.
I get a lot of it, and I'm in the happy, fun time, don't mess with me
sphere. I'm in the
happy,
underground sphere.
So what's going to happen when these two very different personalities start interacting online? While there are different family settings and four different zones when going online, I doubt most families that buy a 360 over a Wii due to the NXE campaign will really be able to prepare themselves for when their 10-year-old gets told he's about to be face-raped by a deep-voiced man who is teabagging him in Halo 3.
I like the imagery there.
Keep up the good show, Tim Hampton.
It basically was. Yeah. What? So, do we already own
360s, right?
Well, do we really picture this theoretical person who buys a 360 over a Wii for the new Xbox experience?
No, I think that, I think the NXE...
I think the price has more to do with it than anything. I mean,
it's, you can finally get a 360 for $200, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's of course a hobbled 360.
Right. But
I mean, the Wii has so much like mainstream buzz about it. Like, people who don't know about video games know that Wii is supposed to be fun.
That Wii...
But I wouldn't really expect those same people to have consciousness of the 360 at least on the same level.
I feel like if you're buying a 360 for Christmas this summer instead of a Wii as a parent, for Christmas this summer, what am I talking about?
It's Christmas in July.
During the break.
Cocoa Puffs.
Let's go to the beach.
Slam a bunch of PCP.
Yeah, I was beat up during the break. No, sorry. If you're
candy for breakfast.
You thought about that one for a while. You were like, wait a minute.
No, sorry. Like, I feel like
I didn't say candy crisp.
It's
all right.
I don't know enough to be speaking, but I feel like if you're the sort of
get out of here.
If you're the sort of parent who would be considering buying a Wii for Christmas this Christmas, there you go, guys. You're probably gonna buy a Wii. I don't know.
But avatars.
That's true. It doesn't
on what other system.
I feel like there's going to be there's going to be one more educated family member in your family who is either a parent who knows what they're getting themselves into or a kid who has gone out of their way to sell their parents on it. I don't feel like moms like who are looking to buy their kid the new video game system are going to be swayed by the NXE ad campaign.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, I sort of feel like that's what's being implied in this letter.
I think the flaw in the question is that the new Xbox experience really doesn't seem that much like it's trying to pull prospective Wii owners as much as it's like pulling on like iPod users because its interface is hella like iTunes or whatever, like with the whole
list is like Wii-tastic.
Well, but more than trying to steal the audience from the Wii, I think it's kind of like when
new people
competing.
Who
are yet no, it's either. Like it's like well yeah it's like
we have that feature too.
It's like how Microsoft Windows always pulls features from the Macintosh, but that's not because Microsoft is trying to take Apple customers necessarily. It's because
they're great at looking at
what other people have done well and then investing 8 million times the money that the initial investment like Nintendo made on Miis. Clearly Microsoft, I would imagine, has spent more, you know.
I don't know. I mean, the avatars don't even seem like the most significant part of it. Like,
no,
it seems,
that's the other thing.
It seems like the more significant part is the whole like
the focus on online.
Well, the as far as interface and features and stuff, the whole... I don't even know what it's called because I don't use Apple stuff very much. But, like, you know how you can have a bunch of pictures and, like...
Oh, like the cover flow thing?
Yeah. What's it called? Cover flow?
Cover flow.
Yeah, so it looks like all of your games and demos and movies and shit that you have on your Xbox use that whole system. It's got, like, the, gradient gray, silver background behind it and everything.
But the thing that is doing a lot... Like, the avatars are sort of... The sort of surface level takeaway thing. It's like, oh, that looks like the Wii, but the NXE thing is so much about like your media library management,
right, yeah, mm-hmm.
acquiring content through the internet, and none of that stuff is on the Wii at all. Yeah, I mean, there's the Wii Shop channel and there's the Wii front page.
Yeah, but that's what makes me think they're trying to appeal most to people who like iTunes and having all their movies on their computer. Yeah.
I don't even know if they're trying to appeal to them so much as like I think they're probably operating under the assumption that that's just.
What
like a Western
like,
audience
just,
is like
yeah,
an
right.
expectation
right.
in
yeah,
a
yeah.
piece of digital like
yeah.
hardware. At
well,
this
I mean,
point,
you know,
yeah.
Microsoft and Sony, like the reason Microsoft is much more focused on Sony and always have been is that those two companies for years now have felt they're kind of walked in a battle for like to be the entertainment center of people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like that's what they're both of them are trying to lock down for the next decade.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So so moving on, I guess we have got the first. And a new ongoing series, a new of segments every week here on the Idle Thumbs. and it was inspired by Nick's Xbox 360 problems that he detailed on last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
So just rolling right into this.
Icebox's Tech Corner.
So last week, Nick described how his Xbox red ringed, except it only had two rings or two segments of the ring.
Yeah, it was an aborted
ring. Yeah, so you can't get Microsoft to fix that.
No.
And you can't use it yourself because it's goddamn broken.
Right.
So our hardware expert, Griff Icebox Rousseau, is going to lay it out for you here. He says, depending on how long you've had your Xbox, it may be an unhealthy intake of dust. The two red rings mean your system is overheating, most likely due to an excess of silt and particles. It's not entirely clear how you would change it to three red rings to fix the problem naturally, but this is what I would recommend. 1. Turn it off and unplug it for at least a day. This will allow it to cool down and potentially allow the dust to settle. 2. When turning it back on, give the ventilation fan a literal ton of room. 3. Opening the Xbox itself to clean out the dust, he would not recommend that. That will void your warranty, and when your system does get its three rings, Microsoft still won't replace it. Instead, you could try cleaning the fan vent and the disk tray, because they might introduce dust into the system. 4. If all goes well, you've got it running. At that point, hope for the best. But, he says, he would recommend a way to fake the three, because Microsoft would probably shoot it down anyway.
I will use those tips as soon as my Xbox has two rings.
So, to wrap...
I was actually excited to hear that information.
Yeah,
it's good information. It sounds useful to me.
So, to wrap up our show this week...
Works.
We received a deluge of contest ideas, which were really good, actually. I'm really... Thanks a lot to our readers for sending in a ton of suggestions, actually.
Yeah, that's badass.
Yeah,
as we mentioned last week, we have a huge stack of ridiculous games, and we didn't know how to give them away. So,
did we name off of any of them?
We've named some of
like
them.
Greatest hits, kind of thing.
It keeps growing every week. So this
National
week we
Geographic
added
Panda.
Yeah, we added National Geographic Panda for DS. We added Star Ocean: First Departure for PSP.
Now they're excited.
We got a set of "I'm a Disney Gamer" stickers.
Yeah, the cream of the crop there.
Yeah, so top of the pile.
A lot of stuff. I think we've mentioned before PS3 Bioshock, World of Conflict on PC, some other stuff. There's a whole box here of all the EverQuest
Spider-Man
stuff,
Web
the latest,
Shadows.
You know, Tales of Symphonia for Wii, the new one. So anyway, we got a lot of context suggestions. Thanks, guys. Actually, our the winning suggestions came from our tech writer, Icebox. So
So these contest suggestions that are,
so contest,
that are in fact
the winning contest suggestions from the attractive and intelligent Griff Icebox Rousseau. Basically, what we're hoping you guys will do, and this is asking a lot, so we've got an alternate contest you can enter. The primary
also care of Icebox.
Also care of Icebox.
Yes.
The primary.
Well, wait. So Icebox.
Yeah.
Gets a gift for
Icebox gets a gift for just being the suggestor.
Suggesting
of
a contest was our secret first contest.
Right.
So
there were probably a couple dozen contest people who wrote in to suggest contests, and we thought these guys were the winning ones. So. He will get some prizes. We'll contact him and figure out how to do that. But basically, we would like you to try to create a Little Big Planet level, ideally one somehow Idle Thumbs themed. I don't know what that means, but you know,
I do.
Take that anyway.
It involves
you like.
Ultra Boost
ribs.
It involves Ultra Boost. Well,
it involves compu ribs. It involves hot scoops.
Certainly, lots of hot scoops.
If
going
you make
on.
A level that involves someone dropping a hot scoop,
that would be pretty amazing.
I mean, I think Little Big Planet has hot scoop support, so you can call it Idle Thumbs. People are looking at me with incredulous faces.
I thought you meant it.
You can feel free to call your thing Idle Thumbs. Please call
it
Idle Thumbs.
Please call it Gears of War 2.
All right. Anyway, so if you actually make a level, I don't know how people would go about getting it to us, but you can send the name of your level and your username to questions@idlethumbs.net.
You can send us a YouTube video that's been featured on the front page so we get millions of new listeners.
Right. If you do put it on YouTube, maybe put a link to Idle Thumbs, you know?
Fancy.
If you make a level that is just our URL and maybe some cat noises, that's pretty
honorable
much guaranteed win.
Like, pretty much, Anyway, if that's too much work, or if you don't
ideas.
You don't have a PS3, you can...
Or if you don't want to make a
Or if you don't want to make it a Little Big Planet level, you can submit ideas for new Ultra Boost flavors. As you may remember from, I think it was our second or third
episode,
I don't know, one of our early episodes, we're sponsored by Ultra Boost. It's an extreme gaming nourishment brand with flavors. I don't even remember what they were.
There was German board game, Xbox Live Arcade port.
Strategy chocolate.
Yeah. No, Strategy Chocolate,
no,
that's competitor, man.
That's Gamer Grub.
Gamer Grub.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about
this
Ultra
is Ultra Boost.
Boost.
Oh, we're talking about Ultra Boost specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to submit new flavors for Ultra Boost, new extreme flavors, you can send those in to questions@idlethumbs.net. And if you
We will eat them live.
If you're one of the best, the most extreme.
The best and the brightest Ultra Boost
yeah.
flavors.
Yeah, you might get some too.
You two will win Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm.
Yeah.
Go to idlethumbs.net and you can listen to the Ultra Boost.
You can download the ad
right.
directly in yeah. our music
to get some inspiration. So that, you know, you won't overlap. If you, right. you know it's already taken. You yeah. won't come up with German board game Xbox Live Arcade port Churro.
Yeah.
It's been done.
That yeah. one's taken.
Let's wrap
ladies.
This up. So,
how many games are we going
to
give away?
We have like 23 or 24 games here to give away.
Wow. And 3 Disney Gamer stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we have some
Limit
we have
person.
The original soundtrack to Anarchy Online, the only real sci-fi MMO, as according to design expert Steve
Whoa,
Gainer.
Hey, buddy. Don't put that on me.
You said it live on the internet.
Yeah. I am not an MMO expert.
An MMOX?
I'm not an MMO.
All right, let's finish this up.
Guy, so, not an MMO expert?
So, yeah, to wrap that up, basically, if you make a cool Idle Thumbs themed Little Big Planet level, you're one of the people who does it, you know, seems to do a decent job of it, you will get first pick as to what games you get for free, courtesy us.
Alternatively, if you're the only person who submits a Little Big Planet level,
you might get a bunch of games. So you might get many video games. Alternatively, if you don't want to do that, you can send us new Ultra Boost flavors, and you will get free stuff too if you're one of the better ones. So all submissions should be directed.
Us.
Yeah, all submissions should be directed to questions@idlethumbs.net, and that's our show for
also,
this week.
Feel free to share your submissions on the Idle Thumbs forums. Yeah, idlethumbs.net/forums.
Yep, or forums.idlethumbs.net.
Or idlethumbs.com, which is finally back.
Yeah,
oh,
finally
really?
Back. As is strategychocolate.biz and videogamesvideogamesvideogames.com. our website can be accessed through any of these myriad URLs.
Is this in fact true?
Yes.
Yes.
These
holy
are all true.
Shit. We
wow.
would never lie to
That's
you.
That's amazing.
Our loyal readers. Also...
Because I've been going to vgvgvg.com for a while and just never moved anything.
Well, that's
back.
The acronym. We don't have that one.
Yeah.
I know. But I'm
That's owned by
it.
VG Cats.
Probably not.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it is. If you wish to buy vgvgvg.com and point it to idlethumbs.net, you also will win the contest. one final note. The other ex-now current Idle Thumbs guys in the UK are starting up their own crazy audio extravaganza, and they did a sort of one-off special at the Eurogamer Expo, and we've posted that on the front page of idlethumbs.net. So if you want to check that out, you should.
Our sister site, across the pond.
Our sister site, Idle Thumbs.
Of the same.
Also, same site, different people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our
cool
sisters,
guys.
Basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Enjoy their podcast.
Our sisters, who are hot, have posted a podcast pod.
It's an incestual relationship, really.
And they're casting a pod into your face as well.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Good luck.
Yep. Video games.
Oh,
oh fuck, it's truly broken.
I told you.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, it was held together by hot glue.
I was held together by hot scoops.
Oh, man.
Oh, snap. So, also, one last thing. We are going to not have an episode for you next week. I, Chris, will be in Montreal for the Montreal International Game Summit. And
I'll be sleeping.
Jake will be sleeping. And, you know, Nick will be...
Doing what I do.
Doing what he does. So, that gives you guys 2 weeks to make amazing Little Big Planet levels. We expect one from all of you.
Yep.
All right, see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
Oh, snap.